Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WPHT, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will... Broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
What are the Trump trials about? Not even Senator John Fetterperson knows what they're about. And that says a lot, because nobody knows what they're about. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, our fourth and final hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Thanks for being here. Don't forget our big rally, the Trump rally, the Zeoli Army hanging out together at Mulligan's Shore Bar in Wildwood on Saturday. This coming Saturday, Mulligan's is a great restaurant, great bar. I look forward to seeing you there. We'll have a lot of fun together. So John Fetterperson did an interview with Brett Baer yesterday. There were a couple of interesting things that he said, but one of them was he doesn't really even understand what these Trump trials are all about. Now, again, I think about it from this perspective with John Fetterman. Either he's playing the long con. He obviously wants to help Joe Biden get elected. He's not hiding that fact. He wants to help Joe Biden get elected, so he's trying to sound reasonable because that's what Pennsylvania is, reasonable. But even if it's just a con, it still tells you it's a reflection of who the voters are. It's a mirror into the voters. John Fetterperson is the mirror into that. I mean, people don't want the craziness and the extremism that you see in the Democrat Party. That's why... he's standing with Israel. That's why he says the border should be closed. That's why he says he doesn't understand what these Trump trials are about. Even if John Fetterman is faking all this, it doesn't matter because it's a window into the Pennsylvania voters. And so if he's trying to tell them what he thinks that they want to hear, good, because that means then there are people. You see what I'm saying? It's not like he's going to convince them to then vote for Biden. But he's looking to preserve himself politically. And I think that's what you're seeing here. He's not going to be able to use some Jedi mind trick on people where he's going to say, well, you know, Fetterman's good on the border. Fetterman's good in Israel. Fetterman doesn't like these Trump trials. So then I'll go vote for Joe Biden. It's not going to work that way. This is a mirror into the voters. This is what he said to Brett Baer.
Your state, if you look at our latest battleground polls on the economy, former President Trump is really up big on President Biden when it comes to the economy alone. Who do you trust on the economy? Why is that? How do you see that? And how do you see the election playing out in November?
Yeah, well, I don't really follow the polls, but I've been having that kind of a conversation now since 2016. You know, I identified that there is a risk here that Trump can actually win, and most people didn't thought that it was going to be a joke. And I'm like, no. As I spent too much time across the state, and I realized that something is happening. And then I had that conversation in 2020 that some of those polls had Biden up at 5 points, and I'm like, you can't have 25,000 people show up at an event, and that's not a 5-point race. And now 24, it's going to be very competitive. It's going to be close. Always has been, always will be. And I do believe Joe Biden is going to win. But anyone that takes Trump seriously, do that at their own peril. He has a connection in Pennsylvania, and we have to make sure that we do whatever we can.
So you see this trial up in New York today.
Think about that now. He knows it's going to be a battle. He's saying he thinks Joe Biden's going to win, but he says Trump's got a connection in Pennsylvania. I don't think he means that Trump went to Penn. I think what he means is Trump connects to Pennsylvania voters, and he does. He absolutely does. So the union guys, Fetterman's whole thing was Mr. Man of the People populist Bernie Sanders. Remember, 2016, Bernie Sanders echoed a lot of Trump's populism. John Fetterperson always wants to be out there and be like, I'm the man of the people, right? The working men and women, the guys with the tats, the guys with the hoodies. He knows that they like Trump. He gets it. He understands this. I think what he's doing here is trying to preserve. This is about his political future. I think it's about his political preservation. I think he sees how, even though he's a new senator and he's got years to go until he's up for reelection, but if the party has any chance of winning, he's got to pretend to be at least the voice of reason. And maybe it is all an act. It probably is. Either way, it shows you the people he's appealing to, people who are normal people. All right, keep going here with this.
It's all falling apart. If you look at polls, and I know you don't look at polls, there are a lot of people who look at that trial and say it may not be fair to him. How do you see it, and how do you see the former president positioned for the election?
I'm a sitting senator, and I'm truthfully not even exactly sure what his trials are about, how many of them or whatever. I think it's, most voters in Pennsylvania agrees that it's a very stark choice as well. And so if I'm not following it that closely, I don't think a lot of the voters there and they're going to, in 6 months from now, they're going to have the chance to vote. And I do believe Joe Biden is going to prevail in Pennsylvania. And I do believe that Pennsylvania does pick the president, but it's going to be very close, and it's going to be incredibly competitive, and I'm not...
You see his point, though? He's like, if I'm not following the trial, I don't get it. I don't think most people are either. I don't think most people day-to-day are paying attention to this. Now, if they are paying attention to it, then they would have seen the disaster that was Stormy Daniels on the stand. But Fetterman also made a very important point about fracking. Now, again, this is another area here where he's trying to distance himself from the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party is anti-American energy independence. The Democrat Party today, all the green kooks. But I told you a while ago, there was that article in the Wall Street Journal with all those guys up there outside of Pittsburgh. That's where Fetterperson's from, saying, I'll never vote Democrat again. These people are trying to take my jobs. And fracking is hugely important to Pennsylvania. Huge. And if you work in the energy sector, you know the choice. You know Trump is going to stand with you. You know that he's going to be on your side, and you know that he's going to help you return the United States to a place of being the world's biggest exporter of energy versus having to import everything because we're going down this Green New Deal scam. This is what Fetterperson said about that.
On in the trial are already baked into that stock price.
Yep. Last question. Pennsylvania, liquid natural gas, fracking, it's a big deal. Energy is big business there. You sent out a statement that if this pause on LNG is a problem, you may try to push to turn it over.
I didn't agree with the president on his choice on LNG. And of course, fracking is important. And I'm very much very pro energy security, and energy security is national security. But I do not believe it's going to be a defining issue in Pennsylvania. Just like I said in 2020, it's going to come down to that very, very stark choice here, Trump or Biden, what you want the next 4 years to be like. And when people show up to vote, I mean, it's going to be more of a gut kind of a situation more than thinking, well, what's about, you know, fracking and whatever.
Well, Senator Fetterman,
it's kind of a contradiction. John Fetterman is basically saying that everything that Pennsylvania wants, Trump stands for. But he still keeps turning around and going, but people are going to still pick Biden. Why? Why would they pick Biden if Trump stands for everything that they want, whether it concerns fracking or whether it concerns everything else you just mentioned, Israel, the border. I mean, he talked about the border, too, and said, how can you give all these people who come here into this country, how do you just turn around and then give them the American dream? How do you do that? He said that, too. Trump stands for everything that John Fetterman is talking about. Then he turns around and he goes, but I think Biden's going to win Pennsylvania. No, it's you gotta say that. That's what you have to say. All right, we get it. You gotta say that. Fine. You gotta say that. Okay, but you don't really believe it, do you? How could you? How could you really believe this? This is a little short clip of what Fetterperson said on this with Brett Baer yesterday.
I don't know why it was controversial that we have to have a secured border. And then when you start to examine some of the numbers that are showing up at the border, 270,000, 300,000 people. And I would put that in the for perspective for Pennsylvania. That's the size of Pittsburgh a month. And it's like, how can you take care of them? How can you give them an American dream when that? And we need to get a hold of that.
Yeah, exactly. So yet. Yeah, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to go, border's important to me. Israel's important to me. These campus whack jobs are all Democrats. Natural gas is important to me, but I'm going to vote for Biden. Wait, what? It's almost as if John Fetterman is in a state of denial. Or he realizes now because of his health issues that he's seen the light, but he just doesn't. I mean, he's got a wife who's a kook. You got to realize this. Happy wife, happy life. There's no way she's happy with this. There's no way that Giselle Fetterperson is happy with any of this. Even that he's using Fetterman and not Fetterperson. She can't be happy. And all these lefty news sites that write stories about him, who's the real John Fetterman? Who is this person? Who is this guy? All those people? No, they're not happy with this. I think otherwise, if it wasn't for his wife, I think he probably would flip parties because he's sounding a lot like Joe Manchin these days. And again, whether it's all an act, it's a reflection of who the voters are. See, if Joe Manchin is a good example of this, right? West Virginia, we know where West Virginia voters lie. That's why Joe Manchin has to break from his party all the time. It's called political survival. I don't know if Joe Manchin means it or not, because of his vote on the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which was a disaster. But I assume he means it. And he got duped on that bill. I don't know. Maybe it's all an act. Who knows? But either way, he's trying to. If you're trying to tell people what you think they want to hear, that tells you about the audience. You're speaking to your audience. So this is good news for Trump in Pennsylvania. It's terrible news for Biden in Pennsylvania. That's why I keep telling you that Trump is going to win. The metric that I'm using for that is Fetterman. He's trying to be representative of the people of Pennsylvania, but then at the end he goes, but I think Biden's going to win. Like, okay, sure. As for the trial, it was such a freaking disaster in so many ways. This morning, my buddy Dana Perino, who, like we said earlier, used the term the lesser last night on Gutfeld, just saying, she could have given me a little, you know, love. Well, next time I do her podcast, I may have to bring that up. Be like, you know, Dana, not for nothing, but the lesser's kind of my thing. I'm just saying, you know, and I know you know that. So, but it's all right. I'll forgive you. Jonathan Turley on America's Newsroom today talking about what a disaster Stormy Daniels was. What an absolute epic train wreck. I mean, this has been a terrible week for people who are trying to get Trump. in the justice system. The case in Florida, the classified documents case, it's over. It's done. It's not going to. It will not happen before the election period. It may not happen at all. In fact, it's very, very possible that as more truth comes out about this, more people might get in trouble on the government side. And they should, because it looks like a whole lot like entrapment to me. The Fani Willis case, well, we talked about that earlier in the show today. That's done. She's going to be off this case, which means they're going to have to pick a new prosecutor, and that's going to take a while. And then that person may come in and go, I don't think Trump, I don't think there's any evidence here. This is stupid. And walk away from that. Then you have the J6 case, which we're still waiting on the Supreme Court to rule, and they could remand it back to the lower court for clarification on something. Then it goes back to the Supreme Court. That's not going to be decided by the election. So it's all hinging now on Stormy Daniels, and yesterday was a disaster for her. It was a train wreck. Because she showed herself, she destroyed her credibility, and that's just not, you know what, before I do Turley, why didn't I do CNN's person? Abby Phillip on CNN. And why it was such a disaster. Why it was such a disaster for Stormy Daniels and such a win for Donald Trump, okay? This is from yesterday.
We'll
take
see,
a listen.
But
he's going to have no choice.
And
don't forget, he's getting prepped. But Anderson, can we just touch about how sick it is that Stormy Daniels said that here's Donald Trump hitting on her, wants to have sex with her, and he's like, you remind me of my daughter. That's weird stuff, man.
Well, she was saying it was because she's smart, that she's pretty.
When
she
said she was okay, when you hit on a girl, you don't say you remind me of my daughter.
That's Caitlin Collins defending Trump there.
One thing that stood out to me is someone who's covered Trump since even before he was in the White House, watching him sitting there and having to listen to the way she talked about him, it wasn't just what she said and the salacious points. She was so derisive. She was mocking him, basically, at several points. She was saying he was old enough to be my dad. He was older than my father. She was 27. He was 16. She was saying she didn't enjoy it. She didn't want to be there. You know, she's had all these points where then in the cross-examination, she was like, yeah, I do hate him and I do want to see him held accountable. And she was not, you know, shying away from her past statements about him. Trump never has to sit there and listen to someone talk about him like that or talk to him like that and describe him as arrogant and pompous. And today he had no choice. He was just sitting there. Speaking of what this trial has done to him, regardless of the outcome, seeing him sit there at that table and just have to kind of take it is remarkable.
And this is one of the things that he has always...
Well, let's think about that for a moment. That's the whole point, though, is to humiliate him. I told you that yesterday. I mean, the process is the punishment. The whole point of this trial is to humiliate him. Alvin Bragg, I don't think Alvin Bragg thinks he can win this case. This case should not even be in court. But it is humiliation. The process is the punishment. This is why I said to you, if the Supreme Court comes out and says that former presidents can be tried for their actions as president, you will turn this country into an even more of an S show than it already is, because I will be that prosecutor who charges Barack Obama with the drone strikes of American citizens and charges him with murder. I don't think I'm going to win, but it doesn't matter. The process is the punishment, and I'm going to get revenge, and that's what's going to happen. I think the Supreme Court's acutely aware of how our political system already now has been bastardized by the justice system, and how we've become a police state in this country using the justice system for political purposes. And if you take away presidential immunity, if you decide presidents can be held criminally liable, then it's over, because at that point now every former president will be charged, everyone. So in this case, though, with Alvin Bragg, it's the process is the punishment. It's just humiliating him in court, having Stormy Daniels get on the stand to say all these salacious things. But it doesn't help their case. It may humiliate Trump, but it doesn't help their case. So let's take a listen to that part of it.
The most sensitive about this Stormy Daniels allegation in particular, Caitlin knows this actually really well, because asking him about this at the White House would be like World War II for the White House staff. They absolutely hated this line of questioning. And it really gets to, it reminds me of how he responded to the Access Hollywood tape. That's definitely him, right, on the audio tape, but he still likes to deny it. And so when he's confronted with the sort of worst parts of himself, he really reacts very strongly and very negatively. And that's what this whole case is about. However, I do think Stormy Daniels, the way that she conveyed that, you know, Trump is going to make the argument, and I don't know what his lawyers are going to do, but he's already been making the case. This is a concocted case to dirty him up before the election, to make him seem bad in front of the American public, even though there's no, like, legally illegal thing that happened here. That's his argument. I don't know that Stormy Daniels helped the prosecutors in batting that down, because she seemed to have a personal vendetta against him. It may be justified, but that's what it seemed like.
The defense, when they cross-examined her.
Exactly. Yes. It absolutely seemed like a personal vendetta, and it's worse. And that's Abby Phillip on CNN acknowledging the truth of that. Now, let's go over to what Jonathan Turley said, because I think Jonathan Turley on Fox News this morning with America's Newsroom also makes the excellent point about that, which is that you can't look at this and think this was in any way, shape, or form helpful for Stormy Daniels or for the prosecution in any way, shape, or form. Take a listen.
All right, Jonathan Turley with us now. Hasn't gone to bed all night. Sarah, good morning to you, and thank you for your time. We have 100 questions. I hope we can get to 50 of them, okay? Here is what the judge said yesterday, all right? I think the jury was out of the room at this time, but maybe they weren't, okay? The judge said, I agree that it would have been better if some of these things had been left unsaid.
Yeah.
To you, sir.
Exactly.
Is that common for a judge to say? And if he does, he or she does say that, what follows? Does a mistrial follow, or not necessarily?
No, he's suggesting now he's going to ask the jury to pretend that they didn't hear it, so they could just unhear it rather than hoping that it was unsaid.
Can you imagine that as a juror? Just don't pretend you didn't hear any of that stuff. Just put your fingers in your ear and go, na 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 na, I don't hear you, na 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 boo boo, I don't hear you, except they already heard it. So they can't even do that. The judge can't even turn to the jurors and go, earmuffs, because they already heard it. Once you hear this stuff, you can't unhear it. I mean, you know that term, I can't unsee that, I can't unhear that.
Of course, that's not going to work. But what was baffling is that the judge created this dumpster fire that went off in his courtroom.
Yep.
It was the defense that said, there's no reason for this witness. She's not material to the case. The details of their alleged tryst doesn't have any bearing on the crime.
Exactly.
The NDA is not in being contested. The question is how it was denoted as a legal expense. So the testimony was entirely irrelevant. Relevant, and the judge refused to narrow this testimony the way that the defense suggested, if not disallowing it.
And but again, that it was necessary to humiliate him, because that's their goal. That's their goal, which is to humiliate Donald Trump. That's the only reason the testimony was necessary. That's it, period. I mean, it's immaterial to the case, but it's just there so that people on CNN later can go, hey, can you believe he spanked her? Can you believe that he compared it to Ivanka? That's all it's about. To humiliate the guy. And people know that, and they see through that, and they realize that this is an utter joke. It's a mockery of justice is what this is. It's a mockery. All right, a little bit more Turley here.
And he expressed surprise when this porn star went into lurid detail. And keep in mind that she said that she was coached by the prosecutors. They wanted this to happen.
Exactly.
I mean, this was not just to humiliate the president. They wanted to poison the well with the jury. And they know that the likely penalty from the court is going to tell this jury, just pretend you didn't hear all that stuff, which obviously is impossible.
Exactly. You can't unhear. All right. That's the problem. You can't unhear. And this prosecutor has given a whole lot of money to Joe Biden over the years. A whole lot of cashish. I'm going to share that with you as we continue here in our fourth hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Don't go away.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh. I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
And you got to know what Jeffrey Toobin thinks, right? What sort of legal analysis that guy whipped out last night on CNN? Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. Big story of the day brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. He's the man, and he'll give you the smile of your dreams. You want to go see him. VeneriaDental.com, two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. So what legal analysis did Jeffrey Toobin whip out last night on CNN? Talk about humiliation. You see, this is the thing about all this that I find just fascinating. This was a humiliating day in court. This was a torrid day of sexual details and everything else. And they have Jeffrey Toobin on their legal panel to talk about this. Just think about this now. They have Jeffrey Toobin, the guy who whipped it out on Zoom and became, you know, yeah, right, used his body as an amusement park to sit up on that dais. I'm counting those. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people on the dais. Anderson Cooper is in the middle. Caitlin Collins. I think Ellie Honig is there. You got Abby Phillip, who I played before. And then a couple other people. And then Toobin. Like, all these people were sitting there going, we're talking about a porn star's allegations. And I got this guy here who's probably used Stormy Daniels for some of his ammunition. For some of his inspiration, if you know what I mean. Like, wouldn't it be ironic if he had to disclose that during that Zoom meeting he was actually watching a Stormy Daniels video? That would be something. If he had officially disclosed that. Like, in the interest of fairness, I just have to let you know. I'm a little biased here. Not as biased as, you know, but George Stephanopoulos. But I'm a little unbiased here. A little biased because Stormy Daniels was actually, ironically enough, what I was watching when that Zoom meeting happened, and lo and behold, Anyway, let's take a listen to this.
Defense, when they cross-examined her, I mean, they attacked her motivations about talking about the
incident. They tried in many ways. One, there was the hate issue. Also, the financial motivation, and they lean into that. On the one hand, you all mentioned before, Stormy Daniels had said that she refused to pay Trump the money that she owes him in the lawsuits. This is where Susan Nicholas, the defense attorney, picks up. Now, while you've been refusing to pay President Trump the money that you owe him, you've also been making money by claiming you had sex with President Trump.
Bingo.
Daniel says, are you talking about the book? Yes. Nicholas, and you've been making money by claiming you had sex with Donald Trump for more than a decade, right? Daniels, I have not been paid for interviews in the United States, if that's what you mean. Nicholas, well, that was not my question. My question was, you've been making money by claiming to have had sex with President Trump for more than a decade, right? Daniels, I've been making money by telling my story about what happened to me. Nicholas, and that story, in essence, is that you say you had sex with President Trump, right? Daniels, yes. And that story has made you a lot of money, right? Then Daniel says, it has also cost me a lot of money.
And that's that point about...
Now, here's Toobin. All right. So here's everybody now turning over to Jeffrey Toobin. And I wonder if this guy's ever had to pay. See, from what I understand, some sites are free and some sites require a monthly membership. I'd like to know if Jeffrey Toobin ever paid for any of those sites with the monthly membership, because then he would be helping the cause. He'd be helping Stormy Daniels with the cause. Or did he just watch it for free? That's the question. And we don't know the answer to that. It'd be nice if they asked him, like, hey, Jeff, actually, did you ever pay to watch Stormy Daniels when you were on Zoom? Because that would have helped her make money on this. Or did you just watch it for free on the internet? But I don't think that comes up in this panel discussion here. But anyway,
costing her a lot of money, and this is the thing I spend a lot of time talking to Stormy about.
Did you spend a lot of time talking to Stormy? Oh, talking to Stormy. I'm sorry. I thought,
which is, you know, because Michael Avenatti filed this libel lawsuit against Trump that the judge in California said was frivolous. He awarded attorney's fees to Trump, which is assessed against the client, not the lawyer. The amount she now owes him with interest and penalties is $670,000. She owes Donald Trump $670,000. You can see why that makes someone really angry. And there does seem to be a measure of injustice, because her lawyer, who is now in prison for other reasons, is responsible for her being in this gigantic debt, which is much more than the money she made out of this whole mess.
But there are other
reasons. Well, she would have made more if guys like you would have actually paid to watch, Toobin. Just saying, just pointing that out. You know, the prosecutor in this case has donated a lot of money to Biden. And other Democrats as well. National Review with that story. The prosecutor who leads the questioning of porn actress Stormy Daniels in former President Donald Trump's ongoing criminal trial has a long history of donating to Democrats. Susan Hoffinger, a prosecutor in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, has donated to President Joe Biden's 2020 campaign and a slew of other Democratic campaigns, according to election reports. Shocking. Her donations to Biden's presidential campaign took place during the Democratic primary. In February 2020, she donated $250, and the next month she gave another $250. During the 2020 cycle, she donated more than $900 to Democratic fundraising platform Act Blue and other Democratic candidates. Her donations go back to 2004, beginning with John Kerry's failed presidential campaign. Hoffinger is not the only prosecutor with a partisan background in the Manhattan DA's office. Top Trump prosecutor Matthew Colangelo. We've told you about this guy. He was the number two guy at Biden's Justice Department. And instead of leaving the Justice Department and going to make some cash in the private sector, he's now prosecuting Trump in a municipal court. He received payments from the Democrat National Committee for political consulting in 2018. Daniels testified on Tuesday in Trump's hush money criminal trial about $130,000 payment to Daniels from Trump's then attorney Michael Cohen, blah, blah, blah. And the graphic tabloid fodder from Stormy Daniels prompted the Trump attorneys to file for a mistrial, obviously, and they should get one. Bragg is an elected Democrat and typically takes a progressive, soft-on-crime prosecutorial approach. Judge Mershon previously donated to Biden's campaign, and his daughter is a veteran Democratic operative whose clients have fundraised off Trump's criminal prosecution. Trump cannot criticize Mershon's daughter under the terms of the expansive gag order placed by the judge ahead of the criminal trial. So many people have no idea that the judge's daughter's out there using this to raise money, and she gets a little cut of the action. Mm-hmm. And the judge, of course, threatened to throw Trump in jail. Dem clients of daughter of New York judge have raised $93 million off the case. This is from March 30th, so by now it's got to be a lot more. Two major Democratic clients of the daughter of the judge overseeing Donald Trump's hush money trial have raised at least $93 million in campaign donations and used the case in their solicitation emails, raising renewed concerns that the jurist has a major conflict of interest. Trump can't bring up any of this. He's not allowed to bring this up. It'd be a violation of the gag order to bring this up. You believe that? This is a blatant conflict of interest here. The judge's daughter is making money off of this case. because she's helping her clients raise money, so she gets a piece of the action. That's how it works. That is a huge conflict of interest. It's not the judge's cousin. It's not the judge's friend from high school. It's the judge's daughter. So the judge has, think about it now. What incentive does the judge have to declare a mistrial? He probably believes it should be a mistrial, but then he'd be hurting his daughter, hurting his daughter's bottom line. And Trump can't say any of these things. Trump can't go out there and say these things. He can't bring this out to everybody. You believe that? That's just outrageous. I mean, it's just so outrageous. Let me continue with this here. This whole trial makes me so angry. The judge's daughter, Lauren Mershon, is president of Authentic Campaigns, a Chicago-based progressive political consulting firm whose top clients include Representative Adam Schiff, who was the lead prosecutor in Trump's first impeachment trial, and the Senate Majority PAC, a major party fundraiser. Authentic Campaigns, and thus the judge's daughter, is actively making money from this sham attack against President Trump, rendering Judge Mershon conflicted out, said the Trump campaign. It's very true. The judge did the right thing and recused himself. That's why when the Trump campaign raised the issue of a mistrial yesterday, saying, Your Honor, none of what Stormy Daniels said here is relevant to the case. This is all salacious nonsense designed to make and humiliate our client. The judge said no, because even he knows deep down inside what Stormy Daniels said was disgusting and had no place and no bearing on the case. But, hey, his daughter, she's got to eat. And you think about if she's helped raise these people, like Schiff's campaign, $20 million, she gets a couple percentage points off of that VIG, off of that money. She's doing very, very well. $73.6 million is what the Senate Majority Political Action Campaign reined in. I mean, all these different groups raising millions and millions of dollars. Alan Dershowitz said if the judge's daughter is involved in anti-Trump politics, there seems to be a basis for recusal of the father. Under the law, close relationships can sometimes constitute a basis for recusal. Well, I would say, given what happened yesterday in court, if nothing else on appeal, they need to look at that. Say, did this judge not have every reason to declare this case a mistrial? Why didn't he? Is it because his daughter's making money? All right, more to come on this as we continue our fourth and final hour before I turn it over to the great one, Mark Levin. Don't forget, Saturday, our Trump rally watch party at Mulligan Shore Bar in Wildwood. I'll be there 5 o'clock for the rally. I want to see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't go away.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
We are almost there, almost to Saturday for the Trump rally. We're almost there. Glad you're here today. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for being here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Scioli, of course. Well, the media is very, very sad. They're very sad, as you know, that the case in Florida has now been indefinitely postponed. They're so sad, mourning the indefinite postponement of the Trump classified documents case. Very sad. This is ABC News Tonight. David Muir, breathlessly reacting to this.
And meanwhile, there's another breaking headline involving the former president tonight. The judge overseeing Donald Trump's classified documents case at Mar-a-Lago has now indefinitely postponed that trial. Is there any chance this now happens before Election Day? Let's get right to our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas. Live in Washington. Pierre, what have you learned?
David, the likelihood there will be a trial in the classified documents case before the election is fading fast. Aww. Judge Eileen Cannon has officially taken a May 20th trial date off the calendar, saying there were too many pretrial motions and legal issues to resolve before a trial could go forward. Some of the issues have sat for months, and some are not even scheduled for hearings until later this month or June. The special counsel tonight declined to comment, but David, this delay makes it all but certain the classified documents case will not go to trial before the election.
Pierre Thomas with us tonight as well. Pierre, thank you.
Aw, poor corporate media titans. What a shame. And nothing about the fact that the judge's reasoning, what the judge has uncovered as she's unredacted things, nothing about how the FBI planted these fake things that said top secret on them to make it look very nefarious. Nothing about how it looks like coordination between the White House and the National Archives and Records Administration in possibly setting up Donald Trump to have these documents in the first place. Nothing about that, of course. Nothing. They won't. They will not get into that. Just like how if you want to get to the truth of things, you have to go to alternate sites. Newsbusters is a great example. They had that clip. There's a bombshell judiciary report reveals Biden's White House threatened social media companies to censor. New details have emerged in a congressional investigation into the Biden administration's censorship enterprise that has curtailed free speech on a level unprecedented in American history. A new House Judiciary Commission, excuse me, let me try that again. It's been a long show. We're almost there. A new House Judiciary Committee report uncovered more of the Biden administration's collusion with Facebook, YouTube, and Amazon to silence constitutionally protected speech. The administration, in some cases, threatened these companies, pushing them to censor content or change their moderation guidelines, specifically with regards to fighting, quote, vaccine hesitancy during the COVID-19 pandemic. By the end of 2021, Facebook, YouTube, and Amazon changed their content moderation policies in ways that were directly responsive to criticism from the Biden administration. While the Biden White House pressure campaign largely succeeded, its effects were devastating by suppressing free speech and intentionally distorting public debate in the modern town square. Ideas and policies were no longer fairly tested and debated on their merits. Here are some of the highlights from the report. In February 2021, Facebook began coordinating with the Biden White House to censor disfavored opinions relating to COVID-19. According to an internal email from Facebook, these topics included the theory that COVID-19 was man-made, that the virus leaked from a lab in China, and other false claims on Facebook and Instagram about COVID-19, COVID-19 vaccines, and vaccines in general. An email to Mark Zuckerberg, a Facebook employee, revealed that Facebook's censorship of these opinions was prompted by pressure from the Biden administration. Quote, in February 2021, in response to continued public pressure and tense conversations with the new administration, we started removing the five COVID claims that had been repeatedly debunked by three PFCs and the eight claims that we had identified before COVID that we had identified as widely debunked vaccine misinformation. According to Nick Clegg, head of Meta's global affairs, Facebook was outraged, but not that outraged. Like if they didn't remove, for example, a Leonardo DiCaprio meme, which was third most highly ranked post in the data set Facebook sent to them, well, then they'd have a little thing about that. Facebook had a meeting with the White House to discuss the effectiveness of the censorship. During the meeting, they floated the idea that Facebook could change the algorithm so that people were more likely to see the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and any authoritative news source over, say, the Daily Wire, Tommy Lahren, Tucker Carlson, other polarizing people. The administration specifically targeted American journalists who were skeptical about the safety of vaccines, such as Tucker Carlson. They emailed Facebook demanding why a video of Carlson questioning vaccine safety was still widely visible on the platform and questioned its commitment to reduction of harmful content. So this jerk from the White House writes the following. This is exactly why I want to know what reduction actually looks like. If reduction means pumping our most vaccine hesitant audience with Tucker Carlson saying it doesn't work, then I'm not sure it's reduction. The administration not only pressured Facebook to target wrongful opinions, but also demanded the censorship of true information on vaccine-related injuries, which caused some consternation on the part of Facebook employees. On July 21st, 2021, a Facebook employee sent a memo in which they expressed that employees face pressure from the Biden White House to ramp up censorship more than they would like. Quote, there is likely a significant gap between what the White House would like us to remove and what we are comfortable removing. There are some policy mitigations that could get the two parties closer, but content policy does not recommend pursuing them. Included in the delta of content was true documented information or personal experiences discussing harmful vaccine side effects. The Surgeon General wants us to remove true information about side effects if the user does not provide complete information about whether the side effect is rare and treatable. Ultimately, the unyielding pressure of the Biden administration resulted in Facebook changing its moderation policies. An internal email sent on August 2nd, 2021 expressed that Facebook was making the changes because of the Biden administration. The email said, leadership asked misinfo policy and a couple of teams on product policy to brainstorm some additional policy levers we can pull to be more aggressive against COVID and vaccine misinformation. This is stemming from the continued criticism of our approach from the administration. And then YouTube, the gold standard of censorship. The Biden administration worked actively with YouTube to censor similar content with notably less pushback from YouTube. In fact, Biden officials disturbingly referenced YouTube as the gold standard for censorship. During the April 18th meeting with Facebook, the White House jerks said they attended a misinfo meeting with Facebook and YouTube, and that YouTube has made significant advances and Facebook, you're lagging behind. On April 21st, 2021, YouTube and the White House held another meeting. After that meeting, Flaherty emailed YouTube requesting more information on borderline content, that is content that didn't violate YouTube's policies. And the White House wanted to be sure that you have a handle on vaccine hesitancy generally and that we're working toward making the problem better. He also implied that his concern was shared by Biden himself. He said, this is a concern that is shared at the highest, and I mean the highest levels of the White House, so we would like to continue a good faith dialogue about what's going on under the hood here. On July 20th, 2021, that jerk from the White House, Flaherty, emailed the YouTube public policy team a tweet from CNN fact checker Daniel Dale that showed his algorithm was presenting him with anti-vaccine content. One video was from a Senate hearing featuring Senator Rand Paul. Imagine that. They wanted that to be taken down. They got confrontational with YouTube and implied they were not upholding their end of the bargain. They pushed YouTube to act as a propaganda arm for the Biden White House to push the FDA's approval of the Pfizer vaccine. We'd appreciate a push here, given the fact that this is an oft-cited blocker for many people. And in September of 2021, YouTube worked with the White House to change its policies to remove content that questioned vaccines. According to the House Judiciary Committee's report, YouTube has continued to work with the Biden White House to censor other subjects, including Russian disinformation, climate change, and even abortion. Amazing. And there's also Amazon. They were also in this as well. Very, very quickly, because I know I got to turn it over to the great one, Mark Levin. The Biden administration worked with Amazon to demote or remove anti-vaccine books on its website. In response to feeling pressure from the White House, Amazon started tagging anti-vaccine books with the same labels designed for extremist content. They had a meeting in March of 2021 with Biden officials to determine if the administration is asking us to remove books or are they more concerned about the search results slash order or both. And then Amazon unveiled a new anti-vax do not promote tag to be applied to all vaccine skeptic books. On March 12, 2024, an internal email announced the online retailer was going to hold another meeting to take a closer look at books related to vaccine misinformation and debate additional steps Amazon might want to take to reduce the visibility of these titles. The book ban in America is real. This happens with the coordination of big tech and the government, with the complicity of the corporate media, the unholy triad. Have a great rest of your night. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.